So recently, some women entered the Shani temple. So should women be allowed to enter Shani temple? What does scripture say about this? There are two different forces at work in any tradition. One is fidelity and the other is flexibility. Fidelity means faithfulness. So fidelity is what connects a tradition with its past. Fidelity is what connects the tradition with the past. And flexibility is what enables the tradition to connect with its current situation. So every we may think of a tradition, it's not like a frozen thing that just continues generation after generation after generation. No, the tradition has a central core that is unchanging, and it has a periphery that is inevitably changing. Even in the Gaudiya tradition, if you see the way Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu practiced Bhakti Yoga and the way Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught Bhakti Yoga, that's different. And we look at the way Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught Bhakti Yoga and the way Srila Prabhupada practiced Bhakti Yoga, that's different. So the difference is not in the essence, but the difference is in the circumstance and the way that essence is accessed and presented in the circumstance. So this principle that there is fidelity and flexibility, both of these need to be intelligently balanced. If one focuses too much on fidelity and there is no flexibility, then the tradition becomes a museum. The tradition in a museum, things are there, they are preserved, but they are of no practical use to anyone. So if one has only fidelity and no flexibility, the tradition becomes a part, something like a museum. It is just there as a museum, of no practical use to anyone. On the other hand, if there is only flexibility and there is no fidelity, then the tradition becomes simply an extension of the current world. It has no connection with the source from which it has come. So there has to be fidelity and flexibility both in balance. And this balance of fidelity and flexibility often comes to a flashpoint when it comes with the issues of women. So what role women should play, or what all facilities women should have or should not have. In today's world, this often becomes a heavy flashpoint. Now there is, in different traditions, it's even if you look at the Vedic tradition, there are different temples, there are different understandings of how to practice spirituality, how to access God, and through simplistically claim that women not being allowed into a particular temple is discrimination, or to claim that because women are allowed now, this is a victory for women. This is a superimposition of today's values on traditional values. And this sort of superimposition is not necessarily a sign of growth or progress. Because the tradition may have certain understandings. We have to look in the tradition to see whether necessarily this was because of discrimination. There may be certain esoteric understandings, or there may be certain cultural aspects. So for example, now even in our temples, we may not allow on the altar everyone to go. One has to become initiated, one has to not only be initiated, Brahman initiated, one has to be in a clean state, having bathed, and then one can enter the altar. That is simply to preserve the sanctity of the altar. If someone starts saying, this is discrimination. No, that is not discrimination. That is simply necessary to preserve the sanctity of whatever circumstances there. So now, for example, when we go, if we go by airplane, at that time when we go by airplane, there is security clearance. Now when there is security clearance, if we are wearing a jacket, an overcoat, or wearing some headscarf, they tell us you have to remove it. Now we may say, if somebody's part of the tradition is there that you wear a headscarf, I cannot remove it. So you will not be allowed to go inside. Now that is a security necessity over there. And one has to understand that this is not discrimination. So we look at so many other situations in today's world where for the sake of security, you know, we have where people follow certain protocols. And it's not necessary that those protocols are discriminatory. So the point is that rather than simplistically claiming that this is right or this is wrong, now every current representative of the tradition, every current representative of the tradition has to intelligently choose the right balance between fidelity and flexibility. So if in certain temples, if there are certain traditions, so for example, in some temples it may well be that the deity is considered to be a brahmachari. And then in those temples, so women may not be allowed. There are some temples in South India where men are not allowed. The temples only for women. Now is it that men are trying to break down the temples or those temples' doors and go in and they say, now we have got our rights? No, there is. See, one problem in material world is we take one value and we some tend to make that value as a supreme value. And then, so for example, the value that says women should be equal to men, women should have all the same rights that men have. We take that value and we assume that anything that is opposed to this value is discriminatory. But it is not necessarily like that. Now, there may be other circumstances over there which need to be taken into consideration. So, regarding if specific temples have specific traditions, then we have to look behind the traditions and see whether those traditions come simply from some dogma or they come from some scripture, and whether they have particular understanding which needs to be educated about. So rather than just calling the temples discriminatory, we have to look at the individual temples or individual situations and accordingly recognize how actions are to be done. So Srila Prabhupada in the Krishna Consciousness Movement he took the mood of bhakti and he was very inclusive. He said that essentially everyone is welcome to practice bhakti. So for example, in the Jagannath temple, even today non-Indians are not allowed. But Prabhupada said that he was Jagannath. Why are you making him Bharatnath? He is the Lord of the universe. Why are you restricting him? So Srila Prabhupada in general was very inclusive and accommodating. And that is the spirit of bhakti. Everybody should be encouraged in the practice of bhakti. And the specific extent of the encouragement and the form that the encouragement may take, that may vary based on a specific tradition and its history and its current expression. But broadly, there has to be flexibility in the tradition and there has to be fidelity. And rather than saying that the fidelity itself is discrimination or the flexibility alone is victory, we have to understand the situation properly and then accordingly take well-informed decisions. So I won't comment specifically on the temple because each temple may have its own traditions. But broadly speaking, nobody should be discriminated against in the broad principles of practicing, in the broad principles and practices of bhakti. At the same time, without being sensitive to the nuances of each tradition or each temple, one should not try to wholesale impose one set of values on everything. Does it answer your question? Yes, please.
Actually, especially the Shani temple, because there are a lot of occult influences around the Shani temple because of the kind of practices which need to be done over there, you know, like exorcisms and, drive away all these occult influences. So there is a lot of evil and negative vibrations around the Shani temple. And women especially, because they need to be protected as they will be carrying, the progeny of humanity for the future. So this is one of the reasons that women are not allowed, especially in the Shani temple. It's more of discretion than discrimination. It is more to protect you know, the womb of that female, so that it doesn't get influenced by these occult forces. So especially when it comes to Shani Temple, this is the reason.
Thank you very much. Any other questions?